Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, hello, everyone. Good afternoon. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. So great to have you here on this beautiful Friday afternoon. It finally feels a little bit like spring around here in Minnesota. Hopefully, where you're listening, you're feeling the same, just kind of blessing with the weather and that nice feeling where it's starting to be green around here. Well, I just wanted to take a minute to thank everyone for just supporting our station. In the last 3 days, we've had what's called our Spring Share-a-thon, and that means that we get to talk to all of our listeners and just gather support and partner in on this great ministry that we call Faith Radio. And I have to say that the support was overwhelming. I am just blown away at what God has done through you, our listeners, to have called and supported and partnered in our ministry in big and small ways, whether you were just praying for us, whether you were contributing some support, or whether you were sending in, this is my favorite part, just the comments on why Faith Radio was important to you. We got to read a lot of those comments. We heard from you personally and were able to air your comments on the air. And it's just such a great validation for us to know that you're partnering with us on this ministry to reach other people for Christ, to be able to bring other people in, to know who He is, and to just share who He is over the radio waves. So thank you so much for your support. We, again, are overwhelmed with the way that you've supported us here at Faith Radio. So I just wanted to take some time to say thank you. And if you missed the last 3 days or didn't listen enough to know that we were in the middle of Share-a-thon, well, it's not really over. If you still want to partner in that ministry, you can certainly give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Or you can go to myfaithradio.com and you can just click on the donate button there and still be part of this Share-a-thon. So thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to switch gears a little bit and just talk about what it means to be together in other areas of life as well, to just have people partner in your lives. And we're going to talk about what it means to have partners as a mom. In fact, maybe some of you have become a mom for the first time, or you have a daughter who's become a mom for the first time, and you're realizing, like I know I did, all of a sudden I was incapable of doing everything myself. In fact, I remember calling one of these poor moms who had had 3 kids before I had had one, and I would call her at all hours of the night. I was usually crying. I was at least desperate to know some information, and she somehow was able to calm me down, and I'm so grateful for her. The funny thing is, we still have coffee now, and I'm still desperate for information, but now it has to do with teenagers. And just to say that those relationships that you begin to develop when your children are small or when you're first a new mom can stretch into so many different aspects of our lives. So we're just going to talk a little bit about that with our author friend, Jill Savage. She's written a book called Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. I just love that, because we aren't meant to do life alone, and we especially aren't meant to mom alone. I think God creates it to be so difficult, so challenging, so that we will actually ask people for help. So let me tell you a little bit about Jill, and then we'll get her on the show. Jill Savage is an author and a speaker who helps moms to be the best that they can be. She's the founder and CEO of Hearts at Home, an organization that brings encouragement to over 10,000 moms a year with their annual Hearts at Home conferences. Jill has led thousands of moms to keep their priorities straight and their heart in tune with God. She's a mother of 5, and she's passionate about strengthening families. In fact, she co-authored this book with one of her adult children, Anne McLean, who has 2 small children of her own and is also an author. Jill's other books include No More Perfect Moms, No More Perfect Kids, and Living Less So Your Family Has More, among others. Welcome, Jill.
Well, thanks. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you here. And I'm sure everyone has a story or two about them calling other moms or maybe their own mother in desperation as well. Do you get to hear some of those?
Yes, I think we all have them. You know, it's so funny because I started out the Better Together book by sharing a story of the fact that I didn't have a lot of female girlfriends growing up. I had more guy friends. there weren't a lot of girls in the neighborhood I was in. And so, you know, I was always, and I found honestly women's relationships were somewhat challenging. And so then I became a mother and all of a sudden I'm like, I need women in my life. Because I need to know that I'm not crazy or what my kids are doing is normal or what to do in this situation. So, yes, I think we have all been there.
Why is it so important? I had the same kind of experience you had where I just had a lot of male friends. And I found that when I became a mom, they really didn't want to answer a lot of my questions. So I was in desperation. I also have a mom who I've told her before, she created me to be stubbornly self-sufficient. And when you're a mom, it's really not advantageous to be stubbornly self-sufficient. That all of a sudden you realize, wow, this is too tough to do alone. And that kind of gave me the courage to start reaching out to get some of these relationships. Why is it so important for moms to have relationships with other moms?
Well, you know, I think that we have to realize that, like you said, we're not meant to do this alone. And it is too big. It's too big. It's too long term for us to try to do this without support. And so I think that there are also a lot of benefits, and we talk about some of those benefits in Better Together, the benefit of connecting with other moms, just simply knowing you are not alone. Mm. That is powerful. We all need Me Too moments. And so that is a huge part of why friendship is important. There's a sense of belonging. Just knowing that somebody cares about me, they think of me every once in a while, I think that's really important. We all need relationships that we can give and receive in. And, you know, most of us don't struggle with the giving nearly as much as we struggle with the receiving. And we can dig into that a little bit as we talk today. But I think it's important for us to realize that a healthy friendship is a dance between both giving and receiving. Moms need a sounding board. And quite frankly, husbands make terrible girlfriends. And so you need that girlfriend that understands why you're mortified that you just found your first chin hair. You know, you need that mom that understands what you felt like when you walked in and your baby had taken off their diaper and you had a mess to clean up. So we need that from each other. And then we need wisdom and experience from others. You know, moms that are in the trenches in the same season we're in, but sometimes we need moms that are a little bit ahead of us, you know, where they can be, you know, I remember reassuring one young mom, her child was having a terrible time potty training. And I had one child that had a terrible time potty training. And I said to her, you know, in the midst of her frustration, I said, you know, just back off a little bit. Just relax in it. I promise you, mine that just had trouble, you know, that also had trouble potty training, she just walked down the aisle in her wedding dress, and I promise you she was not wearing diapers. So we need that. We need that perspective from others who have gone before us.
Hmm. I remember when my husband and I went out on a much needed date, but it was for a charity dinner. And there was a point at the evening where I said, I need to go home now. And he said, I need to stay. So that's the difference between the introvert and the extrovert, which I know you'll talk about. But I drove myself home and figured he'd get his own ride home and then realized that my baby was sleeping and I had to drive the babysitter home. And I thought, well, now wait a minute here. This is not going to work. So I grabbed a neighbor friend of mine who thankfully just sat with my child so I could drive the babysitter home. And when I got home, I was just apologizing and apologizing for my short-sightedness. And he said, oh, Joe, you have little kids and these are little problems. I have big kids and we have big problems. And I thought, oh, no. So when you say it's long term, you're not kidding that there are different problems like potty training and getting them to eat correctly and, you know, whether they're speaking with all of their syllables. And then we get into the, you know, the middle school years and then the high school years. And then I've found that people who have adult children still seem to have some parenting issues. So it's true. It never ends.
It never ends.
We need our peeps.
You know, sometimes you have to accept that parenting is a life sentence.
But there's also so
and
many wonderful
things.
Feels
like that. There are days it feels like that, and then there are other days, and it's, you know, you're just so grateful that you got to experience this.
Yes.
And so, you know, we need others in our life that understand what it feels like to feel both of those ways.
Yes. I'm lucky that I wrote down the how lucky I feel times in my journals so that I can flip back to those when I'm not feeling lucky. And it is great to be able to experience both.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking to Jill Savage today. She's written just a fabulous book called Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. We're going to chat more about why that's so important to just establish some great relationships with females of all ages in your life. And then I'd love to just chat a little bit about what to do when one of those females is maybe going through something difficult and how we can help. We'll talk more with Jill when we come back on Connecting Faith.
You can count on me, like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you, like 4, 3, 2, you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender talking with Jill Savage today, who's written a book called Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. Jill, we've kind of established the importance of having some relationships, even though people like me, maybe who came out of working way too much and not having female relationships, got to the point where I said, well, now how do I do this? I want some relationships, but I don't even know how to start. How does someone start just forging relationships with people maybe in a new community or in a new stage of life when they didn't think they had to do that before?
Well, that's a great question. One of the things we talk about in Better Together is we talk about the four stages of friendship. And, you know, we came up with this because so many of us talk about or we at least know the term BFF. Best friend forever. And some of us have experienced a BFF relationship and some of us haven't. But we don't become BFFs overnight. So we kind of backed that up and said, all right, what happens from the moment you meet somebody until that becomes a BFF relationship? And so we identified three other stages of friendship. We call them MBF, TBF, and GGF. Mm-hmm. Now, MBF might be friends. This is your fishing pond. This is where you're paying attention to those around you and you're kind of going, you know, you see somebody at work or at a mom's group or at a PTA meeting and you are going, she would be interesting to get to know. And so that's your MBF stage. You're identifying women that maybe you'd like to reach out to. And then a TBF stage is when we actually are trying to be friends. So one of the principles we talk about is you have to be forward to move a friendship forward. And that's scary for most of us. But we also talk about most of us tend to be here I am people instead of there you are people. And a here I am person kind of walks into a room and says, here I am, come talk to me, make me feel comfortable, ask me about me. And a there you are person says, you look interesting. I think I'd like to get to know you. So in the TBF stage, we're becoming more of a there you are person. We're maybe inviting another mom to come over and have a play date. Maybe the kids are around the same age, or if our kids are older or we're even empty nesters, we reach out and invite somebody out for coffee or to come over for lunch. And so those are the TBF seasons of a friendship. And it usually takes 7, 8, 9 TBF mom dates, that we call them, until somebody moves into what we call a GGF, a good girlfriend. And this is somebody you could ask a favor of. This is that person that you could say, you know, I need to run to the grocery store and I don't want to take 3 kids with me. Do you mind watching the kids and I'll return the favor next week? So the GGF, good girlfriend, is you know, those people that are part of your mom community, your mom tribe. And then some of those may move into a BFF relationship and some may not. And usually we only have, you know, one, two, maybe three BFFs. And those are your garage code girlfriends. Mm-hmm. They know your garage code. They could come in your house if you were on vacation and borrow a cup of sugar. You know, those are the people that, that you know, you really feel like they're a sister that you got to choose. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for us to know that no matter where we are in this friendship journey, what we need to do is take that next right step. And if you're in the MBF, you've moved to a new community, you don't know anybody, start paying attention to some, you know, who would be interesting to get to know and become more of a there you are person, inviting them to connect in some way. And that's scary. Sometimes we experience rejection, but one of the things we also talk about is you have to be resilient in this friend journey. Resilience is an important part of it because sometimes people's plates are filled with friends and they don't feel like they can handle another relationship. And it's nothing about you. It's just about them knowing their capacity. And other times, you know, maybe somebody just doesn't feel like they connect. And so that's okay, too. We're trying to find those places where there's good connections.
Well, and I remember having a conversation with my husband when I had first had my child, and I said, I don't really know where I'm supposed to start. I don't think I feel connected to, you know, this person or that person, or like we have enough in common. And he said, why do you need to have something in common and be connected with all these people for them to just be your friends that you might hang out with? And I thought, wow, that was pretty insightful. And but sometimes I think we expect that this is going to be the type of relationship that you might have had when you were in junior high with your one best girlfriend who was going to live and die on every word that you say, and you're going to love everything that you do together. And that's really different than forging an adult relationship of someone who might have in common just they have a child who's your age, or maybe you go to the same church and you have the same faith in Christ, and that it doesn't need to be all of those things, but really just ways to be relational with each other and learn from each other.
Right. And if we find somebody that's just like us, that doesn't help us. We need to find people that are different.
Then we just complain about all the people. I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
We just then complain about all the people who aren't like us. So stay away from those people.
Well, and one of the things that we talk about in Better Together is that we talk about, in fact, in the back of the book, we offer what's called your mothering personality inventory. And it really helps you to identify what kind of a mom are you. Are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? Are you an innie or an outie? Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about belly buttons. An innie, this is the way that we organize our stuff. An innie tends to file things, an outie tends to pile things. Well, I'm an outie, and when I have a girlfriend that's an innie, if I don't understand how we are just made different from one another, then oftentimes I am intimidated by her inniness, by the way that her house always feels very organized. My house feels more cluttered. And so if we don't understand that and we don't embrace who we are and allow our friends to be who they are and the way that God wired them and allow us to be who we are and the way God wired us, then we either spend time judging each other or we spend time judging ourselves. Mm. And that doesn't get us anywhere. We have to learn how to embrace each other.
When I started a Bible study that was moving from a church Bible study to a home Bible study, we made a little commitment that we would be a kitchen-only Bible study, meaning that if we were coming over to your house and we were gathering in the kitchen or around a table, whatever the place was, that was the only place you were allowed in the house other than the bathroom. So it really helped to just get out of those innies and outies and judgment and feeling that stress that, oh my goodness, someone's coming to my house and they might want to look in my back hall closet. So I need to clean it. And it helped so much to just be welcomed, but also to welcome others into my house.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And so I think it's so important. Sometimes we have to set some boundaries like that, that helps us stay away from that ledge of comparison. And then other times we just need to give each other freedom too, freedom from guilt, you know? So you know, it's a kitchen only study, or guess what? I'm happy to host Bible study next week, girls, but I will not promise you that my house will be spotless, you know, and guess what? Most of us really appreciate that when we see it, because we go, oh, I feel so much at home.
That's probably true. You know, Bible studies are such a great way to get to know women, especially if you're new to the community. You mentioned a couple of other great ways that Anne, your daughter, has been successful, either joining a MOPS group or just a mom's group in the community. What have you found with those as far as being successful at bringing other women together?
Well, there's a couple of things that I think are really important. One is, you know, I used to run a mom's group. I led it for many, many, many years. And I told the ladies, I always told them at the beginning of each year, I said, mom to mom is where you will meet wonderful moms. Your living room is where you will build beautiful friendships. And that really helped them to understand, if you just come here every week, you're not going to find friendship. You're going to meet some great people, but you're not going to find friendship. And so you have to make an effort outside of that. And so that's one of the things I always encourage moms to do is if they go to a mom's group, don't go home alone. Invite somebody to maybe, you know, go to grab lunch at a place that maybe has a playland and the kids can play and you can visit. Or invite her back to the house for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She's probably going back to her house and having peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and they taste better when they're together. So I think that's important. A second thing that I think is important with these kind of groups, and I love that my daughter shared so honestly in the book, she went to a MOPS group for 3 years before she found real friendship, before she found her mommy tribe. And I think a lot of us give up before 3 years. You know, we kind of try it and we go, oh, I'm not making friends. This isn't working. And in her case, she kept going back. I mean, they were nice people, and she was learning from the speakers at the group, and it was good for her to get out. So there was still benefit, but it wasn't until the third year, and that's when she shares that she found her strawberry pink girls. And I don't know exactly what strawberry pink stands for and why they named themselves that, but I just love that story because it is a reminder that friendship does take time.
Well, and you wrote a little bit about how you found some things that you had to get done anyway and just chose to kind of do life together with other women and how that really helped to build relationships. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of times what we can do is what we need to do is we need to think about the things that we do on a regular basis and what could we be doing with somebody else side by side. So I share a story about a dear friend and I, when our kids were little, and we were both stay-at-home moms, and she was actually doing laundry one day that I came over to her house, and so I just started helping her. You know, every time she pulled load out, I'd help her fold it, and she said, you know, this has been really nice to have somebody to do laundry with. How about I come over to your house on Thursday, and I'll help you do your laundry? And I was like, hey, I'm game, and so we became laundry buddies. And we did that with each other every Tuesday and Thursday. Another friend and I, we traded babysitting. So sometimes we need to do things with each other that we would oftentimes do apart. We need to think outside the box.
Thinking Outside the Box with Jill Savage, author of Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. Well, Jill has donated several copies to give away. If you're listening today and you know someone who might need this book, give us a call, 877-933-2484. We're on Connecting Faith today. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be right back.
'Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall into.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. So blessed today to be talking to Jill Savage, who's just an author and a writer and CEO of a great organization that she has founded for women. Jill, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Hearts for Home and what you have coming up so that people could learn a little bit more about you?
Yeah, Well, the Better Together book is a Hearts at Home resource, and we have been taking care of moms for about the last 23 years. And our premise is you work really hard to take care of your kids, and so we work really hard to take care of you. Because if your tank is filled up, then you're able to serve your family better. And so we do that through our books. We do it through our free e-newsletter that women can sign up for through our website at heartsathome.org. And then also through our mom conferences. We actually have a conference in Minnesota, and it's October 14th and 15th. And it will usually have about 3,000 moms in attendance. So it's not some small event. This year, our keynote speaker is Missy Robertson of the Duck Dynasty Robertsons, and Meredith Andrews is doing our music, and we have over 15 different workshop leaders. So every mom who comes can design her day based upon her season of life, her you know, her season, whether her kids are 2 or 22 or 42. We really kind of run the whole gamut of motherhood. So we just invite any mom to sign up for a Hearts at Home conference. And I'll tell you, we get letters from husbands, and I love getting these letters. I've gotten several of them over the years, and they usually say something like, I don't know what you do that weekend, but I like how she comes home.
That's the best endorsement ever.
I know it.
So we'll have a link to Jill's website at heartsathome.org. We'll have a link to that on our website at byfaithradio.com. Just click on Connecting Faith. And as we talk about the show today, we'll make sure we have a link there. Check that out. And boy, it is worth the drive. If you are anywhere in the Midwest and you can make your way to Rochester, it will be worth it to be able to spend a weekend with Jill at a Hearts at Home conference. Jill, you know, one of the things that I loved reading about was just how our personalities are all different, and to not feel like we need to be like the other person who might be in our small group or sitting around the table with us. You talk a little bit about that and how it's important to kind of know our own personality. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it really is. I think the more that we know ourselves, the more comfortable we are in our differences from other moms. And so, you know, if we don't know ourselves, then we keep trying to be like someone we're not meant to be. And so that's part of the reason we had mentioned before the break that the book offers what's called a mothering personality inventory. It's just a fun little test that you can take that actually lets you figure out, you know, what kind of a mom are you? For instance, I'm an introvert, and it's important I know that. Introverts tend to have smaller circles of friends than extroverts. So if I try to compare myself to my neighbor who's an extrovert, and it seems like there are people coming and going all the time from her house, and she has so many friends, and then I feel like a friendship failure because I just have one or two friends. Well, no, I need to know that as an introvert, that's normal for me. And so I think it's really important that we know ourselves. I think it's important we know kind of the personality style of our friends and stop trying to be like each other, but benefit from the strengths that each other brings. So I one of the things my extrovert friend has often said is that I encourage her to go deeper in friendship. And that's part of my introvert self. I long for that. And so there are ways that we benefit from each other's unique personality traits, and we can bring that to the friendship table.
And that, again, seems like something that we need to know about our husbands as well, that sometimes I know a lot of my friends will say, well, I kind of expect my husband to ask me about, I don't know, the day or, you know, how I'm feeling or whatever it is. And like you said at the beginning of the show, that maybe our husbands weren't meant to be that person for us. And yet we have an opportunity with all these women around us to develop that sort of friendship so that we can go a little bit deeper with those relationships and people who want to know a little bit more about us at a very different level.
Right. You're exactly right. And, you know, we have to make sure that we're not trying to fit our husband into some role that he's not made to play. And you know, in the same way, sometimes we even are trying to fill God-shaped voids in our life with a friend. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to work either. So, you know, we really have to look and know what we're bringing to that friendship table, the positives, the strengths, but sometimes even our insecurities being aware of those, because sometimes those can cause some friendship frustrations if they're not dealt with. So I think the more we know ourselves, the better our friendships can be.
And it seems like the more that we share a little bit who we are with other people who we're just getting to know a little bit, the more they're going to want to get to know more still. I was always very reluctant to share even just the little bit of personal things about myself. And then I found when I started doing that, then all of a sudden it was just expanding that relationship, just sharing a little bit about yourself. You write about sharing stories and just the importance and how that can bring you from that superficial kind of, I met you at a party kind of relationship to, I'm going to sit in your living room and learn more about your relationship. Talk more about that.
Yeah. Well, we do. We need to share our stories. And sometimes they're quick and they're little stories. Like to say to a friend, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this. I drove to the grocery store and completely forgot to buckle in the car seat into the car, you know, and when a mom shares something like that, maybe she's in a mom's group setting or something. I mean, oftentimes we're afraid to, because we're like, you know, mommy guilt. I'm embarrassed that I did that. But almost always she's going to hear somebody go, oh, me too. I did that too. And so that's beneficial for her, because then she knows, oh, I'm not the only one. And then it's beneficial for them because they know, oh, I'm not the only one. And so sharing our stories is so important. So sometimes they're just quick things like that. Sometimes they're deeper stories. You know, of the last 3 years, my husband and I have gone through some very difficult things. We have a son that has some severe mental health issues and has actually tried to take his life on several occasions. My husband went through some severe depression and what we now know as a midlife crisis. And I went through cancer, breast cancer. So when I share any of those kind of stories with another person in a group, what I find is that honesty brings out honesty. And so it helps people to know they're not alone. Sometimes when I share it, it benefits me because people will share a resource maybe I didn't know about. That would be helpful for me. That's happened a lot with our son's mental health issues. And so it's really important that we share those stories because, quite frankly, we all struggle. We all struggle. It's just our struggles are packaged differently, and yet many of them are similar. And so the more that we know that we're not alone, the more equipped we are to be able to face those struggles in community with one another.
Well, and those relationships that you're building, all of a sudden you realize the importance of them when you do go through some sort of a crisis, either yourself or someone that you love. In fact, I loved your list in your chapter on caring together, your list about how to help someone who really thinks that they don't need your help or don't have time to say yes, come on over. You just give a great list of what you can say to someone who you know needs some help but is reluctant to accept it. One thing you wrote down is, I have next Thursday available. I'm coming over for a few hours. Put me to work. And I just thought that is brilliant. Talk more about how it's important to maybe sometimes just make yourselves available, even if the other person doesn't know they need you yet.
Well, and here's one of the things. We start that conversation by identifying one statement that we all use this statement, but it is very ineffective for offering help. And that statement is, let me know what you need. And let me tell you, as one who has been through three major crises over the last 3 years, so we'll take my cancer as one of those. You know, I am ill after chemotherapy. I am nauseous for a week. I am non-functional. And when somebody says, and they say it with the deepest heart, let me know what you need. The truth is, I can't tell you what I need. And you've just put the burden of responsibility on me. But if she says, I have 2 hours next Thursday and I'm going to come over, you let me know what, you just be ready to tell me what I can do for you. That is different. I know she's going to be there and I may have her scrub my bathroom. I may have her make some meals. I may have her just go to the grocery store for me. And maybe she even suggests that. You know, I had another friend during my husband's midlife crisis, and he left for a season. He left for 3 months, and it was very scary. I mean, all of a sudden I found myself alone and very emotional. And then my friend would call me, and she would say, I'm at the grocery store. What do you need? That was a gift to me, because honestly, I didn't want to go out in public because people would ask, or, you know, just to have nice conversation, and I would be in tears. Hmm. So that was a gift she offered to me. It was very specific. So I encourage that when we want to offer help, we offer very specific help, and we even frame it almost in a way that that we're not giving them an option. We're just letting them know, I'm going to show up, and I'd love to serve you in some way. And usually people will take us up on that.
Well, and a friend of mine who just went through a horrible crisis also kind of had a point person, so that if people would be calling, because everyone, of course, wants to help, they don't know how to help. And she would just have this person take all of those calls and emails. And then that person would be the only one that she had to talk to, that she could be honest with about what she needed, so that that person then could kind of divvy out the responsibilities or the duties that she really did need. And just like you were saying, sometimes it was coming over to make beds or do some laundry or run to the store to get cheese. And whatever it was, she was able to be specific with how those friends could help instead of that blame. Let me know if you need anything. That's a little bit too stressful for someone to deal with if they're in a crisis.
Yeah, it really is. And that's a beautiful addition of having that point person, you know, even using some online things. Like, for instance, when I was going through my cancer journey, we used an online service that, well, actually, it was my care pages, but it has a way to like sign up for meals. And so I could put on a calendar when meals would be needed. And then when people would say, let me know what you need, I would just send them the link and say, out of my care pages, there's a place to sign up for meals. And that was such a help, because then it was an easy way for people to be able to plug in and do what they needed.
And one other thing that my friend said is, you know, if you don't cook, don't sign up for a meal. Then just grab some groceries at the grocery store, you know, milk, cheese, eggs, bread, things like that. Don't feel like you have to be Betty Crocker to bring over a tray of beautifully, you know, concocted meals that you might not even serve at your own home. That everything helps. Absolutely everything helps. And don't be afraid to just grab one little item and just do it.
And I would add on to that gift cards. You know, from like restaurants. There were many nights during my cancer journey where my husband, you know, he would call and say, hey, I'm headed home from work. And I'd say, oh, would you stop? We've got a gift card. You know, you should have it in your wallet. It's at this restaurant. Could you just stop and pick up dinner on the way? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, what a great idea.
You know, even that. So it doesn't have to be home cooked. It's just helping somebody so they don't have to carry the responsibility during a difficult time in their life.
Well, I'm talking to Jill Savage today. She's written a book, among other books, but this one is Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. Also has written some great books, No More Perfect Moms and No More Perfect Kids, which are two of my very favorites, if you'd love to get a hold of those. We have more about Jill on our website at myfaithradio.com under Connecting Faith. And we also have just a few more books to give away. So if you've been listening today and you'd love to give someone who's maybe a new mom or a new mom to a community a book on how they can forge better relationships with some moms in their community and why God has made us for relationship, well, give us a call, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Or if you have a question, you can submit that to Carissa when she answers the phone. She'd be glad to get that question on the air for you. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith.
Ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed.
Well, Welcome back to Connecting Faith. So we're talking about friendship today, especially friendships among mothers, why it's so essential. And we'd love for you to join in on the conversation. We also have a couple of books to give away by author Jill Savage. Her book is called Better Together, Because You're Not Meant to Mom Alone. You can give us a call at 877-933-FAITH. 877-933-2484. We'll also take your questions if you have one for Jill. Jill, I got a comment on my Facebook page. I had asked the question about what is the biggest strength or difficulty with relationships among other moms. And someone just wrote in and said, I've had trouble with moms who I thought I had a relationship with and then end up stabbing me in the back. And I'm wondering what your response would be to that. I know you have a whole chapter on just kind of those kinds of issues.
Well, I think that every one of us at some time or another will deal with friendship fiascos. And I think it is the downside of motherhood, or of friendship. It is the downside that we, you know, we hope we don't have to experience. But the hard part is when you link arms with another mom, you're linking arms with an imperfect human being. And sometimes sometimes you just trip over those imperfections, and sometimes they're a big gaping hole. And so one of the things that I have found is, you know, usually we don't handle conflict real well in friendships. So we talk in Better Together about the importance of actually going back to that other person and having some conversation, because a lot of times what may feel like a backstab is actually a miscommunication, a misunderstanding. And so we need to just simply go back and have a conversation. I remember one time I went to a preschool open house, and there were a lot of people there. Our youngest was getting ready to go to preschool, and I was interacting with people all over the room. And I got back home, and I got a phone call from a woman who had been there, but I had never even seen her there. And she's somebody I knew, and she said, "Have I offended you?" And I said, "No, why? Why would you think that you've offended me?" And she said, "Because you looked right at me at the preschool open house, and you didn't even acknowledge me." And I said, "I never saw you. I never even saw you." And so I'm so glad she asked, because had she not made that phone call, she would have felt slighted by me, and she would have read that completely wrong. I maybe was looking in her direction, but I literally never saw her there. And so, sometimes we just need to clarify, ask our thoughts instead of nurturing those thoughts and fueling them. And sometimes they're negative thoughts. We need to ask them. And then a lot of times conflict can be resolved by simply getting some clarification.
Well, it seems like now in today's culture that you may not have received a phone call, but you would just become unfriended from her Facebook page. Social media seems to create not only some great communication and connection, but also create a bit of just anger, I guess, a very quick-witted anger instead of that conversation on the phone. How do you deal with maybe online community, and can it be good and both bad when it comes to establishing relationships?
Well, I think our online community is extremely important. So by no means am I anti-online, but I don't think that it can replace those face-to-face friendships. I think we need both. My aunt, you know, I have a great online community, and I would call those women in my mom tribe. Some of them I will never meet face to face. We've connected on support groups, or, you know, maybe they live in another part of the country, but they've been a very important part of my life. And sometimes when I go out and I've got an issue and I put that out there, they're going to be a help to me. But they can't be the ones that show up at my doorstep at, you know, midnight, when we've got some crisis in life. And so that's, I think we need both. And I do think that that all of our technology has caused us to forget the importance of face-to-face conversations. You know, we oftentimes will resort to sending a text when it really deserves a conversation. We'll resort to sending an email when we really should at least pick up the phone. And so I think that we have to be very, very careful about how we're using our technology, particularly if some sort of conflict is involved. Because in technology, on Facebook, on texts, on email, you can't hear the tone in somebody's voice. You only hear it the way you read it. And you may not be reading it with the same tone that they wrote it with. So I think we have to be really careful about that.
And to know your friends, there are going to be some who would certainly prefer to speak on the phone as opposed to texting maybe a conversation. And it seems like sometimes that's by age, sometimes it's just by experience with a piece of technology. But knowing which friends prefer a phone call has been just paramount to me to know how to communicate with them.
Yes. I would so agree. This goes back a little bit to personalities and understanding each other, but I had one woman tell me that she had a friend and the friend was always inviting her to go to home parties. Well, she's not a home party girl, number one, and number two, she's an introvert. So introverts tend to want to go to coffee and have one-on-one interaction. Extroverts, they're attracted to any party. And so her extrovert friend was reaching out to her as an introvert friend, and she was getting frustrated because it was always to these home parties when she longed to just sit down and have coffee with her and have one-on-one time. So I think knowing ourselves and knowing our friends and knowing what's important to them and how to best reach out to them makes all the difference in the world. Mm. And so I so appreciate you sharing that. You're exactly right. Some prefer texting and some prefer a phone conversation. Some love a good party and some prefer one-on-one. And so getting to know each other in that way, how do you want best interact with a friend? Ask that question. You know, what do you prefer? What a difference that makes.
You know, I know we're coming to the end, and I just wanted to make sure I asked the question for any woman who's listening today who says, hey, you know, this would be great. I would love to have these relationships that you're talking about, but it's just really lonely and does not know where to start. Can you offer some suggestions or advice for her?
Well, I would ask her to first identify if she's routinely walking into settings as a here I am person. Hmm. Here I am, come talk to me, come make me feel comfortable, come invite me out for lunch. Or is she walking into a room saying, there you are. There you are. You look interesting. I'd like to get to know you. I'm going to invite you to meet me for coffee. And so I think that's a first step that many of us need to make. And so I would encourage her. Now, it's scary. You have to put yourself out there. And it's double scary if you're an introvert. And I'm an introvert. So it always means that I have to really kind of work myself up to do that. But it's always worth it in the end. So I would encourage her to really evaluate how she is approaching relationships and social settings. And if she can change that from being here I am to there you are, I think she'll begin to experience some different a different stage of friendship. And then begin to, you know, invite and get to know that other person. See if it is a good match, if you feel comfortable with one another, if your conversation is easy. And if it is, continue to pursue it. And if it isn't, then continue to look and invite other women out to get to know them better. And you'll begin to find somebody that you will connect with. But it does take effort on your part.
That's funny. I think I just broke out into hives when you said that you should approach people. Ted's laughing because he knows I talk about my introvertness a lot and having to walk into a party. And if I would just have that type of attitude, it really would make all the difference, Jill.
It does. It does. And I'll tell you, I've known the here I am, there you are for forever, but I still have to self-talk it to myself. If I go into a new setting, I have to say to myself, I'll go in as a here I am person. And then I'll have to say to myself, Jill, you need to be a there you are person. Okay. And then I'll pray, God, would you just show me one person? Just help me see one person that maybe is standing by themselves, is sitting by themselves, or maybe a group of two people that I can just go up and begin to have a conversation with. And usually when I pray that, he will lead me in some way. And all of a sudden I'll see somebody and I'm like, all right. I'm going to put on my courage and I'm going to go over and start a conversation.
I think you're going to get a thank you note from my husband. I'm just going to tell you that right now because he will be happy that I heard and will do that. Jill, thanks so much just for all of your great suggestions and most of all, your encouragement to all the women listening today.
Thank you.